Hey there, welcome back to 7 Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're cracking open Sue Prideaux's biography of Friedrich Nietzsche, I Am Dynamite. So, Sophie, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the name Nietzsche?
Hey there, Sam. Well, honestly, the first thing that pops into my head is that famous line, "God is dead." And I always pictured this brooding, isolated genius, but this book completely changed that for me. It brings him to life as this incredibly vulnerable, lonely guy who just wanted to be understood.
Right? The title alone, I Am Dynamite, it's this explosive claim he made about his own philosophy. And Prideaux really shows how his ideas were like dynamite. They shattered everything. But the man himself? He was this quiet professor who loved music and got terrible migraines.
Exactly. And he wasn't always this lonely figure. He started out as this golden boy, a professor at Basel at 24, super religious as a kid. His classmates even called him the little pastor.
The little pastor. And then he goes and writes The Birth of Tragedy, which basically tells the academic world that they've got Greek drama all wrong. It's not all rational order. It's this battle between Apollo and Dionysus, between structure and chaos.
And they hated it. They completely dismissed it. I mean, can you imagine pouring your heart into something like that and just getting silence? That must have been devastating.
Oh, it was. And that's when he fell in with Richard Wagner. For a while, he thought he'd found his kindred spirit. Wagner was this force of nature, and Nietzsche saw him as the embodiment of that Dionysian energy.
But then Wagner went all nationalistic and Christian with Parsifal, and Nietzsche felt completely betrayed. It's such a human story, you know? The intensity of that friendship, and then the bitterness of the breakup.
Yeah, and after that, his health just crumbles. He's got these crippling migraines and stomach issues. So he quits his professorship and starts this wandering life, moving from boarding house to boarding house across Switzerland and Italy, just trying to find a climate that doesn't make him sick.
But that's also when he writes his greatest works. Thus Spoke Zarathustra, Beyond Good and Evil, On the Genealogy of Morality. All written in this intense isolation, mostly ignored.
So he's physically miserable, emotionally isolated, and professionally ignored. And yet he's producing these ideas that will reshape the entire intellectual landscape. What's the core of it all, Sophie? What's the big, dangerous claim?
The big claim is that there is no objective morality. What we call good and evil is just a system invented by the weak to control the strong. He called it slave morality. Christianity, in his view, is the ultimate expression of that, celebrating meekness and humility and demonizing power and pride.
And so he calls for a revaluation of all values. And the ideal is this Übermensch, the Overman, who creates their own values and says yes to life in all its messy, painful glory.
And it's not about being a tyrant. It's about self-overcoming, embracing struggle as a path to growth. You know, that whole what doesn't kill you makes you stronger thing, he actually lived that.
Did he though? I mean, he also believed in eternal recurrence, the idea that you'd have to live your exact same life over and over for eternity. That's terrifying. But for him, it was the ultimate test. Could you say yes to that? Or would you be crushed?
And I think he struggled with it himself. It's like he was trying to convince himself as much as his readers. He knew life was hard, but he still believed the struggle was worth it.
So where does the whole Nazi association come from? Because for a long time, that's all I knew about him.
That's the tragedy. His sister Elizabeth. She married an anti-Semite, and Nietzsche was horrified. But when he had his breakdown, she took control of his work and completely twisted it. She published this book, The Will to Power, that she framed as his magnum opus, even though he never meant it for publication.
And that, combined with her editing, basically created the proto-Nazi Nietzsche. It's a total betrayal. The man who criticized German nationalism and anti-Semitism gets turned into a hero of the Third Reich.
And for much of the 20th century, that's how he was seen. It's only after World War II that scholars really started to reclaim his work and show the real Nietzsche, the good European who loved French literature and Italian music.
There's something so poignant about that. He never got to see his ideas take off. He died in 1900, completely unaware that he'd become one of the most influential thinkers ever.
And that's what Prideaux does so brilliantly. She shows us the human being behind the ideas. The guy who loved music, who wrote tender letters to friends, who wept over a beaten horse in Turin.
That story gets me every time. He sees this horse being whipped, and he just throws his arms around its neck to protect it. And then he collapses. That's the moment his mind breaks.
And for the last 11 years of his life, he was cared for by his mother and then his sister. He was basically a shell of himself, unaware of the legacy he was leaving behind.
So what's the takeaway here? For me, it's about the courage to think for yourself, even when no one's listening. Nietzsche's life is this incredible example of that. He kept writing, kept pushing, even when everyone ignored him.
And on that note, if you want to explore more big ideas like this, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. And it's just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. But the real takeaway from I Am Dynamite is that Nietzsche's life was a work of art, a constant act of self-creation, and that's the challenge he leaves us with, to live our own lives as if we were creating a masterpiece. We'll see you in the next one.